I'm Nicola Bonn, and this is the UK's most honest beauty podcast. This is Outspoken Beauty, and I'm so excited to say we're back for season two. Our special guest was in the Saturdays. She's a broadcaster, an entrepreneur, and an author. It's Rochelle Humes.
And I remember my mum saying to me, Rochelle, that's not your colour. But I was convinced, and I bought it anyway, and the medium dark colour that was... I mean, still, like, well, I put chalk on my face.
Oh,
I don't
bless
know what
it was. You.
And I would put it under my eyes and think I was covering up spots. But essentially, I look back and I was probably highlighting.
And I'll be talking to Amy Christian C. Ahmed. She's founded one of the most feminist, empowering and sustainable beauty brands in the world.
We created that in response to Trump being elected and in honour of the Women's Marches of 2017.
And of course, I'll have some reviews of the products I've been using and loving. So we're back, season two of the Outspoken Beauty podcast. I sound like someone's holding my nose because I've got a cold, but I'm very, very excited. I had a break for the summer, and season two is going to be really, really exciting. Bit of news, if you listen to season one, Rach has gone. She's gone to Malta. She's really, really missing doing the podcast, but she's got an amazing gig doing a breakfast show on a radio station in Malta. So she sends her love, and I'm sure we will hear from her during season two, but sadly she's not in the studio with me. I really miss her. I want to tell you a bit more about season two, though. So, you know, we want to be the UK's most honest beauty podcast. And part of that is meeting amazing people who really speak from the heart and who have really good opinions about beauty. So some of the guests lined up for this season are the pop star Freya Ridings. I never knew it, but she is obsessed with beauty. We're also going to be chatting to Esther Corran. She's Giles Corran's wife, and she is so opinionated and so effortlessly funny. She's brilliant. And so she does a really revealing conversation about her life in beauty, her insecurities, things like that. The Anna Edit was one of my favourite guests in season one. She's back this season with Lily Pebbles. I've got Sophie Beresina and Lisa Potter Dixon joining me. It's going to be amazing. Now, there's something so special about doing this podcast. You start off with a conversation about beauty, but somehow you get to know people just on this really intimate level. A lot of my guests become quite emotional, always very opinionated. And today's guest is Rochelle Humes. She's got a brilliant story to tell you. She's going to be talking about her relationship with her hair and how she's changed it for the sake of her daughter. And she's also got loads to say about skin colour and how, you know, for years and years, the beauty industry just hasn't served her. And her story from what she did in the 90s because of this is brilliant. Let's welcome Rochelle Humes to Outspoken Beauty. So, very excited to have Rochelle Humes on the Outspoken Beauty podcast. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, recently, you've been everywhere for many reasons, but one of them is your hair.
I know, it's bonkers, really.
Isn't it weird how an Instagram photo has sparked almost a movement? I've been really excited to chat to you about that. Tell me the story. So, you always straightened your hair.
So my hair is obviously naturally very curly. When I was younger, I wore it curly a lot. And then I got to about the age of, like, I'd say about 16.
Yeah.
And I would have it blow dried every now and again if I was going somewhere or something like that. And then it just become regular and regular. And then probably from the age of, like, 17, 18, then I was just completely straightening my hair. And I was never wearing it curly. Maybe occasionally on holiday, but rarely. So then, like, fast forward, like, 10 years, so last year, I decided to go back to
your roots.
To my roots, as it were, which
going back to the straightening thing, why did you do? Because when I was younger as well, everyone was obsessed with straightening their hair. I remember my sister ironing her hair because she wasn't allowed to straighten.
Yeah,
did you do that?
Some of my friends doing that with actual irons, yeah.
What was that? What was that all about? Why did we straighten our hair?
I'm not sure. I think it was a fashion thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I've been looking into this a lot lately. Like I interviewed the beauty editor of Cosmopolitan yesterday. Ooh. And like, because we were sort of really, I'm like trying to delve into this and find out what it is that is kind of in our brain that we should have this sort of hair, you know. And it's not just a curly thing, where when if your hair is straight, everyone still makes that bit straighter.
Or, yeah.
So I think it started off as a fashion thing. And then the fashion thing, you know, that was what looking good was, I guess, at that time for some people and their perception. And then I think what happened was then fashion then sort of got the blurry line as in, oh, I think that makes me feel good. I think that looks nice. And then, yeah, I think then that's how you sort of think that's what, when you feel your best is when you're a bit more polished, I guess, because curly hair isn't groomed. It's not like it's a bit unruly. It's a bit everywhere. But that's sort of the beauty of it. But if you're not comfortable with that, and people having curly hair, people will always say, your hair is massive, it's amazing, you get quite a lot of attention. And if I think your personality doesn't match up with that and you're not really comfortable
with that attention,
I think you'd rather just be a bit more understated.
That's such a good point, because a lot of people with curly hair, people say, oh, big personality,
big hair.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's a funny one.
Do you know, I read an article on The Pool as well, and it was an insight into actually more Afro-Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Your dad's Jamaican?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of women apparently who have Afro-Caribbean hair straighten it because they feel they're not accepted unless they have straight. Have you ever?
I think in some communities and different cultures, I think straight hair is seen as beautiful. And I think then everyone sort of wants that hair. I'm not sure when it happened. I'm not sure why it happened. But I think in that culture, you know, women relax their hair. I've relaxed my hair in the past. I think that's sort of, because I don't know if it's partly because the grass is always greener.
Yeah, it could be that.
I don't know if it's that, because then I've got friends that tongue their hair to death because they want more volume.
So I do that.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I don't know if it's, I think it's an element of that. And I think it's also an element of, you know, going back years, the media wasn't as inclusive.
Yeah.
And I think it's got, you know, I mean, it's still work to do, but I think it's improved so much more.
Let's talk about that. Because I think that slowly, I mean, Rihanna's done it with Fenty.
Oh, she has absolutely smashed it.
Like, she has, hasn't she?
She really has, and like she's done such a good job at catering for everyone, you know. And I still sometimes have that, like I went into a big department store in London a few weeks ago, and I've always used the same foundation for the past 5-6 years, and I went to get a new one, and on the particular counter the lady said to me, is this in stock anymore, because I can't find it. She was like, yes, no, it's not been discontinued. We just don't really stock it here because we don't really sell that many.
I can't believe it's still going on.
Are you? And I was actually like, what do you mean? And I didn't even, obviously, it's not like, it's not her fault, but it was just like, blew me away. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I might not shop here, or someone of my skin tone. So I think, like I say, there's a lot of work to be done. And I think the high street are actually doing a very good job.
Agreed.
Like brands like Superdrug.
Yeah.
I think they're really, really like doing well with that.
It's just crazy that it's taken so... I mean,
it's crazy that it's still a thing.
Mac's been doing it forever. Rihanna's got the publicity. And I think by doing that, she's made everyone aware that this needs to be done across the board. Uh-huh. I mean, come on, especially like we're in London right now. There are so many skin colours. It's a rainbow. Everybody deserves to be able to wear makeup if they choose.
It's bizarre. Like, obviously, it's changed, like you say, MAC, Bobbi Brown. There's so many, like, amazing, you know, different brands that have done really well. It's just weird that I was shocked. It was only, like, 3 weeks ago, and I couldn't believe it. But
how did you feel? Did you feel offended?
A little bit. I was just kind of like, what do you mean? You know, why would... You wouldn't stock it because you don't really... And they were like, oh, just try a different store, but we don't really shift as much as that of that colour here.
You can see why people just want to go online now and don't want to even go in, which is a shame.
When you know what you want, you might as well order it online, because if you're met with that, sometimes it is a little bit... It just took me back a bit. And, you know, listen, I'm not blaming her. It wasn't her fault.
No.
But I just... It was... Yeah, it was a bit bizarre.
I want to talk about High Glow in a moment, because I think you've done something inclusive as well, which is brilliant. So we'll chat about that. I want to talk also about your daughter, because just back to your hair decision. Uh-huh. I've read that you said that your daughter was sad because she didn't look like a Disney princess.
Well, so basically it was going on over a period of time, her saying, I don't like my hair. My hair's this, my hair's fuzzy, my hair's this, my hair's that. And it started off that she wanted hair like her best friend.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, like one another friend. And then she wanted hair that was really long. And I was like, you have, you know, you've got, I want princess hair. I was like, you have princess hair. What are you talking about? And then she was like giving me examples like Rapunzel and Elsa, and I'm like basically started to explain to her, you know, mummy has the same hair as you. And she's like, no you don't. I'm like, yes I do. But obviously then I sort of looked a little bit closer to home and was like, I've blow dried my eyes since she's been born. I don't think she's ever seen me with curly hair, which is terrible, just because I was, well, it's not terrible. That's just how I styled my hair. Yeah. Like, I would wash my hair and I'd blow dry it and straighten it, and that was that.
That's what you'd always done. Yeah. Yeah.
So she actually didn't believe me. So then that's when I was like a bit upset, like, oh my goodness, of course that mummy has the same hair as you. So then I went through this whole process of trying to show her. But of course, I damaged my hair so much over the years and literally straightened the life out of it and tried all the different chemical things that people say are going to work, and which aren't good for your health.
Brazilian hair and blow dries,
exactly, all of that stuff. And yeah, so my hair naturally, it's great now. I'm like about 6 months, 7 months in.
That's good. So that's actually fairly quick, because it looks amazing.
It's fairly quick, but I've been literally just chopping it at every opportunity. I've been cutting so much off it just to get the curl back, because the ends were so straight and damaged. So obviously I'm trying to show her and it's not coming back to how it was. So I got all my pictures. My mum brought loads of pictures over as me as a little one. And then to now, if I was even to try and straighten my hair, she'd be devastated, because she's got this newfound love for her hair.
Oh, and it's so
we're
lovely.
Matching, and you know, she's kind of one of those little girls that she wants to do everything the same as me.
Yes.
She's just like that. And my mum, even to get her to do things like we're trying to get her to behave right, my mum would, whenever my mum's over, she'll say, oh, do you know when your mum was a little girl, that used to be her favourite meal? And she'll eat it straight away.
You're her heroine.
It's bizarre. It's so
not bizarre.
Lovely.
It's gorgeous.
So lovely. But you don't realise as much until you see things like that. And yeah, so now she's like, I know that she's obviously so comfortable and so happy, because the other day we were just out shopping, and this girl, she had really long curly hair, and she went, mummy, look at that girl's beautiful hair.
Oh, that.
So I was like, do you know what? This is good.
You've
this
done
is
an
good.
Amazing. And I think it's a lesson actually to all mothers that we are, it's a lot of pressure, but we're bigger role models than we realise.
And this is the thing.
Yeah. And so a lot of mums, you know, they feel very embarrassed about their body, and, you know, they say, oh, I'm fat. Oh,
no,
I'm not going to eat that.
Yeah.
Girls and boys are watching. Yeah, and
they're like sponges.
Yeah,
and I think
that's what I've
come to realise. And yeah, it's nice, because it's had a nice sort of ending to the story, which is
I love it. It's
nice.
Like it's like a fairy tale story, and you're the princess.
Oh wow,
like
kind of. She's the princess.
She's the
princess.
You're the fairy hair mother.
Yeah. There we go.
Now let's talk about getting the glow. I'm upset. I think actually it's such a big trend at the moment, but out of everything I can do, if my face looks glowy,
oh yeah,
then I feel good. But it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because I think the whole glow thing is related to health.
Of course, and you associate it to just being well and being on holiday,
yes,
and being sun-kissed. And I think I would so much, like whenever I'm lucky that I've got an amazing lady for work and appearances that does my makeup, called Francesca Neal, and she is like the glow queen, which is amazing. But if anyone else, and she gets me, and we're actually best friends, but if anyone else is to do my makeup, if she's busy or away, I'm always like stressing that I do not like being matte. I would rather be shiny and it look like I'm hot than be
me
matte.
Me too. In fact, I look at women who are shiny and I feel jealous sometimes.
I do. You look so glowy.
You look so well.
Healthy.
It's so weird. There's been such a turnaround. If you think back to like our grandma's day when it was all about being as matte as possible.
As possible. And it's like almost, it looks really chalky, doesn't it?
And it ages the skin. It really ages the skin.
It's not a flattering thing at all. So being, you know, glowing and it's always been something that I'm a massive fan of.
Yeah.
So I created my own range and I started work on it quite a few years ago.
When you were pregnant, is that right?
Well, it launched when I was pregnant.
Oh, blimey.
I just obviously decided to have a baby in the middle of a project.
Of course.
I do those sort of things. But it'd been in the works a long time before that. And it started because of one product, and that product was when I was performing and me and the girls were out, we would all like make this random like concoction. We'd literally get a cup and we'd put in like a bit of bronzer, a bit of shimmer, a bit of moisturiser, a bit of foundation, and we'd mix it around, and then like it would like be amazing on our legs. And that was sort of our thing that we did.
Really?
And I remember someone saying, and then I sort of carried it on, and that's what I would do wherever I was. I knew my little concoction, and that's what I'd put on my legs. And just because it's just great for smoothing and like making you feel a little better, you know, covering little bits of cellulite.
Especially when everyone is watching
and,
you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, and I remember being somewhere once and someone said to me, you need to make your own one of those. Like, that's like, you know, random what you're doing and it looks so good. I'm like, yeah, do you know what? I do, but... You know, I've already got one child. I wasn't pregnant at this point. And I'm like, there's a lot going on in my life. I probably won't get around to it. And then I did because it was just a passion of mine. And then I created a whole range around that product and it's still growing now, which is incredible, really.
And what's good is it's affordable. I mean, there are a lot of...
That was important.
Yeah, it is important. I think a lot of glow products are, the good ones are high end.
Yeah.
And so you're covering body, you're covering
face. Yeah, we do a great sheet mask actually.
I saw a photo of you.
Flies out every time.
Well, you wore it in a cab, didn't you? Your gold mask.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I'm terrible.
The things that cab drivers see.
Cabs, I've worn it on planes. It was actually really nice when I was sat there on Instagram and, you know, obviously we were all sat down to watch the royal wedding and
of course.
It was a big affair. So I was sat there thinking, were there any pictures come off? I'm just desperate to see her. And Serena Williams was getting ready. Yeah. So obviously, she's friends with Meghan Markle, isn't she? To go to the wedding. And I looked on Insta and she had my sheet mask on.
Did she?
Yeah, which is amazing.
That must be a great feeling. Yeah. What's in the gold mask?
Well, it's just so many hydrating properties. So lots of coconut oils and really nourishing products. Yeah. It's basically just about moisture. So it's an instant hit. I didn't want anything that's like, you know, do you remember the old school? You'd do a mask and they'd bring you out in spots because they say it brings you out before it.
Nightmare.
It's not anything like that. It's like a perfect red carpet ready mask.
So literally you put it on and then you put your makeup
on. It heightens the glow and that's the point. Mm. So it makes your skin nice and dewy. And you know the kind of, I always call it the juice, the stuff that's like all the coconut oils and the stuff that's in it that's like left in the packet.
Yeah,
you just smear that all over your face afterwards as well. And it's just...
And hands.
Yeah.
Always a bit, if I've got anything extra in the pack, always on my hands.
Always on your hands.
Yeah.
So no, it's just great at moisturising, just giving that instant glow, which is great. And perfect for like before an event.
And what about, what I'm really into is a highlighter that you can put kind of down the middle of your forehead, on your cheeks. What's your go-to product for that?
It's so important. Well, I have one as part of my range.
Yeah.
I've got a little highlighter, a little stick, which is fab. And it's great. Shove it in your handbag because that's the thing that I'll always touch up throughout the day. And always down the bridge of my nose, eyebrow bone, Cupid's bow, and my cheekbone.
It does anywhere the sun hits. It makes such a difference.
Anywhere.
We get Lisa Potter Dixon. Do you know Lisa?
No, I don't.
So she's the head of makeup at Benefit, but she also does loads of social media stuff. Mm. She's a makeup artist.
Yes.
And she, you know, Benefit High Beam.
Yes.
Before she puts any makeup on, she just gets it in her hand and puts it all over her face.
Does she really?
So I tried that today with another. I've got another glow thing, and I've got it all over my
all
face.
Over.
Do I look glowing?
I do. I can really see it there.
On my big nose. I've got quite a big nose, so
no,
I always worry that it will make you look bigger.
Oh my goodness, you don't.
Oh, I do. I think that glowing is great, but it's also glowing from inside. It's kind of if you're feeling rubbish, I think getting the glow makes everything feel a little bit better.
It does. It really, really does.
I'm with
you on that one.
So. Finally, we've discussed the glow, we've discussed your hair. Was there a moment in your life that you can remember as being a pivotal beauty moment when you thought, you know, there was maybe a lipstick your mum used or a perfume, something that awakened your passion for beauty?
Do you know what? I think the thing that awakened my passion was probably... I used to always, you know, my friends at school and my best friend, she was white. I'm obviously mixed race.
Yeah.
And she would have like this. Do you remember when everyone had those like little cover up? They used to just call cover ups.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like a lipstick, but it was a concealer.
Yeah, from Boots.
Yeah.
Some people would put them on their lips.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that
not a look.
A bad look.
Okay, that's horrific. You just look like you need like some sort of life and sun to you. So I would always be so jealous of this. I'd just want to have this cover up. And I remember my mum saying to me, Michelle, that's not your colour. But I was convinced and I bought it anyway. And the medium dark colour that was, I mean, still like, well, I put chalk on my face.
Oh,
I don't
bless
know
you.
And I would put it under my eyes and think I was covering up spots. But essentially, I look back and I was probably highlighting my... But I, at the time, I thought I looked great. So I was putting those on, like, little things, blemishes and stuff, but I was probably highlighting them by putting a lighter colour.
That is really interesting, because even as a kid, you were experiencing something that, you know, is, as we said before, getting better, but you so wanted to join in.
Yeah, I was desperate to join in.
There were no makeup products for you.
Oh, it was so hard. And I remember my mum, I grew up in Essex.
Yeah.
And I remember she took me on the train to take me into London, and it was like a big deal, you know, like that was we wouldn't go to London often, like it would be something big.
Yeah.
And to get me, I think Clinique or somewhere like that. And they did a darker shade and it was like a revelation.
You must have been so
happy. But it was expensive. My mum was like on her own with me and, you know, me and my sister. So it was like a big thing to not be able to just go to like Boots and get it.
Well, she obviously knew it was a really, really important thing.
I think she just probably couldn't bear looking at my face anymore with these like white dots all over it.
So sweet. And what's coming next? I mean, are you going to do more makeup stuff with Superdrug? Or?
And I'm working on a kids project, which is very exciting.
Tell me.
I actually can't say too much about it, which is so blooming annoying, I know. I'm on a podcast, so I can't talk about it.
No, it's fine.
But which is really exciting. It's been a passion of mine and I've been working on it for years. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Oh, it sounds great. Thank you. We've covered some really interesting stuff, actually. I feel like we've put the world to rights.
We've had a right good old matter.
Oh,
thanks,
Rochelle.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm very excited because, not being the best science student at school, I decided that it would be really interesting to get to the bottom of some of the things that make up the products that we love and that we put on our faces. And to do that, I got a cosmetic scientist to join the podcast. She's called Lorna Radford. What I love about Lorna is she's really young, really ambitious. She started a company called Encos Development. They make products for loads of big skincare brands. And Lorna is passionate about beauty and passionate about science. And combined, here is a woman we need to hear from. So on this episode, Lorna is helping me get to the bottom of retinol, what it's all about, what we should be doing with it, and also we'll be chatting about some products that contain it. So Lorna Radford, what do you do? Tell me your story, because you're an amazing success. I mean, you're very young and yet you own your own business.
Thank you very much. During the day, I run a company called Encos Developments, where we develop hair care, skin care and colour cosmetic products for various cosmetic brands. So there are so many companies, so many individuals that have great ideas for cosmetic products, but they don't necessarily have the knowledge or the resources to actually make that concept into reality.
Yeah.
So that's where we come in. All of us at Encos have science degrees. We basically mix together cosmetic ingredients to form bespoke products.
I think you're like the secret undercover agents of the beauty world, because you hear about the brands and you always have somebody representing the brand, often a celebrity, but what you don't tend to hear about is the people who are making the products, you know, and it's quite amazing to think there are cosmetic scientists all over the world coming up with formulations that are skin changing. Do you ever feel like you want to say, hey, I made that? Because you don't ever get any credit, do you, really?
We do tend to sign quite a lot of confidentiality agreements, but I'm happy if the brand is happy. I'm proud if I've made a formulation that a brand is selling well or that somebody tells me they love it.
So on this episode, we're going to talk about one of the ingredients that I think interests me the most, because everyone says it's one of the most effective skincare ingredients. Some people say it's the only one that actually makes a perceptible difference to your skin, and that's retinol. Is it true that out of every ingredient, retinol's the only one that can, in inverted commas, reverse the aging process?
I think from an ingredients perspective, there are so many interesting ingredients that are used in cosmetics, and it's difficult to say whether one works better than the others. It really depends on how it's formulated into an end product.
Yeah.
If you think a bit like cooking, if you gave two people the same box of ingredients and one of them was just an amateur cook and the other one's a professional chef, it's amazing what difference that experience can make to the final product.
Yes.
So it's not really as simple as that.
If used in the right way by a master chef, could retinol be skin changing?
So there have been studies to show that it visibly diminishes the look of fine lines and it can increase skin firmness and generally improve the look of uneven skin.
Yeah.
So all cosmetic changes.
Now, what we thought we'd do is we'd have a look at two products that have, well, forms of retinol in them, or have kind of taken the idea of the concept of retinol and used it to effect. Yeah. So we've got Ren Bioretinoid. And then we've got the one that I've been using quite a lot recently, which is the Ordinary 5% in Squalane, which I think is brilliant. It's really, I can see a palpable difference on my skin. So, you know, from my point of view, I would just say I've been testing it. I've seen a bit of a difference with the Ordinary. The Ren as well, I really, really loved. Perhaps didn't see quite as much of a change, but again, okay. It was good. It was really good. What are you getting if you're buying these products?
Yeah, I think the Ren Bioretinoid, the first ingredient on the list is rosehip oil. Okay. And that is an oil from rosehip, as the name suggests. But part of that oil actually contains quite a natural high level of provitamin A, which is a carotene.
Oh.
So even though you don't necessarily see it on the ingredients list, it's there sort of undercover, I guess.
Yeah. Because actually a really popular rosehip oil is the Trilogy rosehip oil that I used a lot in pregnancy. I didn't realise it was that high in vitamin A.
One of the other ingredients in the Ren product is bakuchiol. And it's a bit of a mouthful.
Bakuchiol?
Yes. It does occur naturally in a couple of plants.
Yeah.
But I believe the cosmetic grade is synthesised in the lab to get high purity. And it's very interesting because it's not actually a retinoid, but it reacts on similar skin receptors when you put it on the skin. So it causes various changes to skin mechanisms in a similar way to retinol. And
okay.
There have been a couple of independent studies by universities looking at how retinol and bakuchiol compare. So even though it's a completely different molecule, it does seem to show some of the same benefits that retinol does.
Okay, so for someone who wanted a more natural approach, actually, that could be a really nice...
Potentially, or someone that's tried retinol but perhaps has some skin irritation from it. It could just be something different to try.
Okay, brilliant. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then in terms of the Ordinary product, it's really interesting because, again, it doesn't use the traditional retinoids, but it uses a completely different product yet again to the Ren product. So the key ingredient in the Ordinary product is even more of a mouthful. It's hydroxypinacolone retinoate.
Pina colada.
Yeah, that's what I think of as well.
Hydroxypinacolone.
It's quite an interesting ingredient again. So it's made from retinoic acid, but because it's been reacted to form this stabilised ester, They've got some data basically to show that it has a similar efficacy to retinoic acid, but doesn't actually have the potential downsides to retinoic acid. So less skin irritation, and also the benefit that we can use it in cosmetic products.
So you could actually be getting the same sort of effects as if you were to use retinoic acid if you use this?
Potentially. Wow, again, okay. It always depends on person's skin type
of course. Yeah.
Potentially.
Okay, so but without it irritating, which is a big thing. I mean, I had I used a retinol, and it had a terrible effect on my skin. I think it was quite a high percentage, but oh my word, it was awful. I got eczema for about a year.
Oh wow!
Yeah, okay. It really was dramatic. So I think things like this work a lot better for me. Yeah. One more question about retinol as well. Are there any ingredients you'd recommend not mixing? For example, if I was doing an acid exfoliation, is it fine to then use a retinol after that? Because I always wonder, we're just putting all these different products on our skin, sometimes without the knowledge that they may be doing quite bad things to it.
So one of the things that retinol does is improve skin renewal. If you're using an AHA, so a chemical exfoliator, you're essentially removing the top layer of dead skin cells.
Right.
And because retinol also increases skin turnover, potentially if you're using both, it could be too strong for some people's skins. The one thing that is worth mentioning with retinol is because you are increasing the skin turnover, you really want to make sure you're using SPF products to protect your skin against sun damage.
Yeah.
So I would always recommend SPF anyway, but particularly if you're using retinoids, it's a great idea.
So it's just kind of taking it slowly, seeing what works for your skin. If you feel irritation, stopping. And then, and I know you build up a tolerance to it, don't you? So if you start off small, sometimes you can build up and up and up with a retinoid.
Yeah, so I'd say start slow, as you suggest.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Now, recently, I was at a party and this woman walked past me and smelt of actual heaven. And I had to talk to her and say, what are you wearing? Because obviously I wanted to wear that perfume and smell the same. Anyway, it turned out she was the PR for this brand called Sana Jardin. And when she told me the story of the founder, Amy, and what she hopes to do with the brand, I was absolutely bowled over. Now, I chatted to Amy. I want to share this story with you. Here is a brand that is helping women who live in poverty to be independent. They are sustainable. They are feminist. They are empowering. And a lot of her perfumes as well have a really political message, which is great. So Amy came in and shared her story with me. And I think you are going to love this brand.
So in perfume production, there's a lot of waste that's created. In our particular perfume, because we source ingredients from Morocco, there's, from the orange blossom, there's orange blossom water that is a waste product. There's scented candle wax. And because we work with an organic plantation in Morocco, we're in the process of teaching the women how to compost the organic debris. So what we do is we upcycle all of that waste product. We've given that back to the women who harvest the flowers, who are the indigenous women who don't have access to long-term employment. They only have access to seasonal employment. And we partnered with Nest, a New York City-based nonprofit, who taught them how to be their own micro-entrepreneurs. So they now have their own businesses. So they sell the orange blossom water, they sell the scented candles, and they're being trained how to do the organic compost. And the women in the cooperative, they retain 100% of the proceeds of the sale of their products. We want to replicate this social impact model around the world. So our next step is in India with the women who harvest the tuberose in India. We're working with our perfumer, Carlos Benaim, to develop a tuberose perfume and then also work with the harvesters in India and continue to expand that program globally.
Let's talk about the products themselves, because having tried your perfumes myself, I am wowed by them. This podcast, we're always very honest. I will never recommend anything that I don't like. And you have beautiful, beautiful fragrances, and hearing the story behind them makes them even better. They're very feminist. They're very empowering just because of their story. And I know there are a few little anecdotes linked to some of your fragrances. Can you share them
with pleasure. So, I think the story that speaks to this the most is the perfume called Revolution de la Fleur, which has a lot of ylang-ylang in it, which centers the heart chakra. And we created that in response to Trump being elected and in honor of the women's marches of 2017, because we wanted to demonstrate that when women unify and use their soft power to have a voice and create change, it is very effective. So that's the reason for the name Revolution de la Fleur.
Oh, that makes me want to wear it instantly. Does every one of your fragrances have a story?
Yes. So Tiger by Her Side is another one. That's an amber. It's a very sort of deep, rich, exotic amber. And the reason that we called it Tiger by Her Side was I was enchanted by the stories of ancient priestesses, myths about ancient priestesses who used to use essential oils to raise their vibration and heal themselves and heal others around them. And the goal of this was to make wild animals calm around them so that they could exude so much power that they were able to achieve this. And I think as women, sometimes we really need a coat of armor. Before we go out at night, we want something that makes us feel strong and centered and powerful. Even if we're not feeling that way ourselves, it's sort of like a red lipstick. And Tiger by Her Side is a name that I often think of if I feel like I need to be confident and kind of channel that inner goddess, if you will. And so that's why we called it Tiger by Her Side.
Just wonderful. So we have products that are feminist via their stories, empowering because of what you're actually doing, sustainability and change-wise, and blimmin' beautiful. They're really nice. All I can say is, like, well done and thank you for doing something incredible and that I hope really helps to change the beauty industry. I have loved chatting to the women that have made up this episode. All of them so different, all of them so inspiring. But now it's time just for me to chat to you, if that's all right. I've been testing out some products. I want to tell you about them. You know, I'm really passionate about trying things and sharing my finds with you. So, Paula's Choice Skin Perfecting 2% BHA Liquid, otherwise known as salicylic acid, has done really, really good things for my skin. I went on holiday to France over the summer. I came back and I always get really oily after I go on holiday. And I just had loads of congested pores. I had hormonal acne on my chin. And I used this product for a week and it cleared. My skin was probably the clearest it's been in forever. So while I don't recommend this to somebody who has dry skin and, you know, doesn't suffer from those kinds of things, if you do get breakouts, if you do get blocked pores and stuff like that, salicylic acid is your best friend. And I just really like this product. Really mild, really nice to use. So I definitely recommend that. Now, if you know me, you'll know I'm very, very passionate about Emma Hardy products. I love Emma. I met her years ago and she's so passionate about what she does. And I just love everything she does. Now, she has come out with a revitalizing eye serum. Now, I never, ever use eye cream. I'm really naughty and I've been told off so many times. But this may have converted me. Really rich, but it sinks in so nicely. And I just feel it's perked up my eye area. My kind of under eyes, you know, bearing in mind I get up really early for my radio show, my bags have gone, my under eyes feel firmer and plumper, and it's just lovely. It's a really nice product. So if you are looking to spend money on an eye product, I just think this is a really, really good one to use. Now, finally, after reading a few articles about what deodorants containing particularly aluminium can do to your health, and, you know, there's no complete proof, but it's not. I don't think it's very healthy to be putting aluminium under your arms. Anyway, I tried a eucalyptus deodorant from Marlin and Goetz. I hope that's how you pronounce it. It is just a deodorant. There's no antiperspirant, nothing like that. And I used it while I moved house in the heat. So it was a really good test. And I didn't smell. I didn't smell at the end of the day. I sweated a bit because it doesn't stop the sweat, but I didn't smell. And that for me is fantastic. So if you are looking for a natural option, this one's a really, really good one. And I think it is one of the top selling deodorants, natural deodorants in the world. So check it out. All the links to the products I review, you'll find on the website, outspokenbeauty.co.uk. There you go. Season 2, episode 1, done. I have enjoyed it so much. I can't wait for you to join me next Sunday for episode 2, when I'm joined by Esther Corren, who is so irreverent, so funny and so outspoken. She made me snort with laughter. You are going to absolutely love her. Lorna's back talking about glycolic acid. I've got some reviews. It's all happening. Join me next episode. And remember, if you miss us in the meantime, check out our Instagram account at Outspoken Beauty Podcast and the website outspokenbeauty.co.uk.